Characters in that slideshow that I don't think are a part of this community. I'm not sure how they got in there, but you know what? It makes the point that even with bad hair or whatever else it is that is compromising you today, you can still let your light shine. It's good to have you again for this live stream from First Press Church in Collingwood. We're really glad that you're here. It's a beautiful morning this morning here in Collingwood. As always, if there's a way that we can help you as a church, will you please let us know? Or if you have a neighbor that you think needs help and you think that maybe we could be of some help to them, please contact us. Also, if you have an idea for a way that we could be helping the community, we always encourage you to let us know about that as well. This is the week. This is the week. This is the week where everything comes out. The leaves are just starting, and by next Sunday, our world is going to be a lot greener. And it's an amazing week when everything just bursts, apple blossoms and just all the leaves. It's incredible. And could we see that as a symbol? Because we know there are people going through a hard time today. Could we see that growth that just will explode this week as a symbol that God will give us good things, that our future is filled with growth and new life? And we just celebrate the symbol of the coming of spring today. So glad that you're with us. If you have a Bible in your home, grab that. I've asked you to grab Bibles a couple times before. And open up to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. That's in the New Testament. And it's a passage that you may have heard before. And sometimes it's called the wedding passage. And I'm going to be referring to that in a little bit. So grab a Bible, 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. As we talk about quite a bit here and in every church, prayer is an important part of our worship. So let's join our hearts together now in a prayer.
My name is Nolan Aldred. I'm happy to lead in the opening prayer this morning. Let's pray. God, we come together into this place, and here we know we will find the presence of your Spirit with us. We know your Spirit is alive among us. Jesus said the Spirit brings us strength in our times of weakness, comfort in our times of loneliness and despair, and guidance in our times of uncertainty. We also know that here we are not condemned, but we are accepted for who we are. We remember Jesus' words, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God, help us to hear and understand this good news that you accept us, forgive us, and welcome us. May we always remember that you call us to give rest to the weary. As you have opened the door for us, may we open the door for others. May we see Jesus in the faces of the lost, the homeless, and the hopeless. May the great light of their Jesus shine through us, that they may find their way home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On and on. runs out on me. Your love, your love.
Well, that's a song that we learned from a BBC we had a couple of years ago, and it's a favorite song of ours here in the church. Julia has this morning off, that is, as far as her children's time goes. We've really been appreciating Julia's videos. And Kimberly is here.
I am.
And Ian, can you take this iPad just for a second? We're just getting a little bit of feedback here. I'm going to get Ian to grab this and see if you can find what that is. Thanks, Ian. So a lot of people have been making bread. And I bet you probably about 25% of people watching at home will stick their hands up. They've been making bread. And Kimberly, you have been making bread.
I have. I've been trying.
And you're going to show us a few things about making bread.
I am.
Do you want me to pass you this bag here first?
Well, did you want to ask me to tell you about making bread?
Wow. Tell us about making bread. Holy.
Making bread is really fun. First of all, it's fun. You get to stick your hands into it and poke it and punch it. And sometimes you end up with disasters like this. Hold this for a second.
So sometimes the making bread doesn't turn out to... Oh. Is that supposed to be a loaf?
That was supposed to be a round loaf, but it kind of melted. It didn't like me. I don't think this loaf liked me. And then, let's see, I'll hand this to Haven.
This bread's supposed to kind of rise, yeah. Isn't it? It's supposed to rise up.
So it got a little better. Mm. Now, this one wasn't too bad. It's good for a paperweight.
Like it's heavy. That's just a heavy piece. And it's supposed to be light and fluffy.
This is a doorstop kind of loaf. Yeah.
Wow. That's as hard as a rock.
It is hard. And then this one was okay. It was getting better. I've been getting better at making bread. But wow. Yeah. So we'll put these back in this bag.
But they will have a use for something, I'm sure. So
yes.
You have something else here. Can you tell us why you wanted to learn how to make bread?
Well, as you said, so many people are out there making bread. A lot of my friends are making bread, and it looked like fun. And I also, you know, I've been listening to the TV and the radio a little bit, and there's lots of talk about how healthy your own bread can be for you. And I also really love the idea of the symbol of bread and how it just symbolized, you know, coming together and eating together. And in fact, one really cool thing I found out in all of the listening that I was doing, the word companion, which you think of as your friend, literally means with bread. So the people that you are friends with, you eat bread with, they are your companions.
Companus. And yeah. Bread is pan.
Yes.
With friends. Wow, that's pretty cool.
So these are some loaves I actually made this morning. I thought they were going to be pretty good. They're not the worst, but...
Oh, they're still warm.
No, I broke them too much.
Oh.
So there was this one, it got a little flattened out. As I say, I'm still learning. I'm learning a lot. And then this one,
wow, I can smell it.
Yeah, can you see that? I'm sure you can. This is made from some flour that Yancy gave to me, so yeah, I'm getting better.
Now, you were telling me that you watched a documentary about bread making, but you were telling me that a kernel of wheat has all the nutrients that we need to live on.
It does.
Like everything is in a kernel of wheat.
It really does.
There's nutrients, there's carbohydrate, and there's protein. Mm-hmm. Everything we need is in a kernel of wheat.
Almost everything.
Now, you have something else here. Oh, my gosh, what's this? It looks like a science lab or something.
Yeah, so this is a traditional kind of yeast. Not a traditional. This is a lot of the yeast that a lot of people will recognize. You see this in the grocery store. It's a Fleischmann's yeast. I think this one is about 8 years old. Probably won't work. So I kind of thought, well, that's not going to work. The kind of dough that I've been making is called sourdough. And sourdough is made with a starter. And I have a starter. Let's see, I've got a few here. This is a starter that my friend Joanne gave to me. I know it doesn't look like much. This is a starter that, my friend Jacqueline gave to me. And this is a starter, what's this one? Well, this is a starter that I made all by myself, yeah.
Now what do the starters do?
So the starters are what we call the leaven. That's what makes the bread rise up. A lot of people use just the regular kind of yeast, but if you don't have yeast, you can use a starter to make your bread rise, and you can make your own starter, and it's kind of cool. What you do is you take water, and you take flour, and you stir them, and you stir them, and you stir them, and then you let it sit, and then the next day you stir, and you stir, and you stir, and you stir, and you let it sit. Then you stir about another 12 hours later, and you let it sit. And then you stir it again.
So get your hands in there?
Nope, you don't put your hands in yet.
But that's half the fun, isn't it? Getting...
Nope, not yet. Not yet. And then you'll start to see some little bubbles come into your starter, and that means that it has come alive.
Wow.
The flour and the water have come to life.
You were saying something about there's something in the air, though.
That's right, because the flour and the water alone can't come alive. What they need is for the organisms that are in the air everywhere that we breathe to mix together with them to come to life. You sort of think of the air as like a spirit that goes into the bread, and that's what brings it to life, and it starts to bubble gurgle, and it grows.
Wow.
It actually grows up the jar.
Wow. You know what it reminds me of? In the Bible, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And when you told me that in a kernel of wheat are all the things that we need to live on, it reminded me of that when Jesus said, I'm the bread. It's kind of like he's saying, everything that I am is all you need to live. I'm the bread of life. And then when you were talking about the air, it just, as you said, it reminded me of what the Bible teaches as being the Holy Spirit that is always around us. And the Spirit somehow surrounds us and gives us things we need to live on. Just like how bread needs air. Wow.
It's really a beautiful thing. I think that's what's the best part about making bread, is that you become part of life's creation.
And our house has been smelling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to go home and eat that loaf that's still warm.
Well, we'll see about that.
Well, thank you, Kimberly.
Well, thank you for having me, Tim.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people have been having fun making bread, so.
It is fun.
We have a scripture reading now. I talked earlier about 1 Corinthians 13. And Linda Campbell is going to read for us now that passage from the New Testament.
Good morning. My name is Linda Campbell, and our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Good morning. My name is Linda Campbell, and our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 7. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move the mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. For love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This, my brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. It's important for us at some point, every service, to just be really clear that we are a family. We're a part of the family pod. We eat together and live together. Ian's in and out a little bit, but that's why we're able to be here so close together physically and singing together. It's just been such a privilege over these weeks for us to be able to do that. And I know it's hard for some people when they see a family that is able to be together. You just think of your family that you're not able to be with. And we hope and pray for that day to come soon where we can be back together. This is a song that's called Healer that we love to sing.
I believe you.
Again, it's really great that you're able to be here with us on this day. This is the season that oftentimes pastors and clergy will do graveside services. I did a graveside service, a cemetery service this week, and we were standing outside surrounding a casket, and there was 8 people. The cemetery has regulations that don't permit more than 8 people. And it's a difficult time for families in the sense that they're not able to do a full funeral. So for this particular cemetery service, there probably would have been about 250, maybe 300 people at this service, and we just weren't able to do that. So we stood around at the cemetery, we stood around the casket with 8 family members. And as pastors and clergy do at cemetery services, we talked about resurrection. And every time I talk about resurrection, particularly to people maybe who wouldn't identify as Christian or aren't people who attend or belong to a church, I always wonder what they think about resurrection. Because I know that some people really struggle with what resurrection is. The Bible says, if resurrection isn't true, then we, and that means we as Christ followers, are to be pitied above all people. Those are Paul's words. What does it mean to say the resurrection is true? And I've just been thinking about that this week, because I know that there are people who wonder about that. What does it mean to say the resurrection is true? And I want to give you something that is just so simple. And this is something that you can just stand back and you can see how simple it is. And you can think to yourself, I get that. I understand that resurrection happens in that way. There's a verse from the Bible that maybe you've heard. These are the words of Jesus. The truth will set you free. Yeah, I know some of you thought that was Spike Lee who said that in that movie, Do the Right Thing. He did say that, but they weren't first his words. And I know that Kanye West sang those words 10 years ago, and then Drake sang them last year. But those words weren't their words. They sang them in the song, but they were first Jesus' words. And Jesus said, in me is truth. And we think, well, what does that mean, particularly as it relates to resurrection? Because when I'm standing around people, then I know that they don't identify as Christian, and I'm talking about resurrection, and they're seeing a casket go into the ground, I know they're thinking, what does that mean? Can you unpack that for me? And I want to show you something that is just so simple. I'm telling you, this is just so simple. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't even matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what background. It doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, rich or poor. You're going to get this, and you're just going to say, I get that. I understand that resurrection happens in that way. So much of life is about finding truth, isn't it? Like, we are on a journey. Like that Tom Cochran song, I'm on a highway, and it's just all about discovering what truth is. Like, when we send our kids out into the world, we just hope that they can find the right things and discover truth. Do you remember the first time you left home? I do. What a shock that was. Like, you mean it costs this much money to rent an apartment, and then to buy food, and then to pay your bills, and to have cable TV, and you gotta buy furniture, and then you get a mattress, and you realize that mattress you bought doesn't even come with linens? Then you have to buy linens, and it's like, so that's the truth of what it costs to live outside of the home? Or what about cooking? Oh man, I mean, you gotta buy food, then you gotta prep it, then you gotta cook it, then you gotta clean up. It's a lot easier just to get takeout, I suppose. And then you realize, so that's what mom and dad did for me. You discover that truth. Life is a journey of discovering truth. And in the Bible, many of the prophets and many of the disciples of Jesus just say resurrection is true. And we're like, well, how does that happen? Politicians argue about truth. Politicians on this side talk about climate change in a certain way. Politicians on this side talk about climate change in a certain way. Connor McDavid has just been traded to the Leafs. Did you hear that last night? No, I'm kidding. I just made that up. That's not true. But see how careful you have to be. Because life is all about discovering what truth is. Is the resurrection true? And I want to show you something that is not nearly as mysterious as you think it might be. Now, there is a part of resurrection that is full of mystery and full of wonder and full of awe. But there's another part of resurrection that is just so simple to see. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are. You can just stand back and you can just see and acknowledge that that's true. I get that part of resurrection. I think a lot of people wonder, in a general sense, are the stories in the Bible true? People wonder that in a very general sense. Now, we have a group of young people that are joining the church. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. It was supposed to happen last month, didn't it? But we try to get together with them. We get together with them on Zoom. And what we did, we had fun with, we had a basket, and this was before we were isolated, but they would just put questions in a basket. We'd take the questions out, and they were anonymous, so nobody knew who wrote them, questions about God. And we'd take them out, and we'd read a question, and that would be our discussion. And one of the questions was, I believe in God, but I'm not sure if I believe in the stories. Are the stories in the Bible true? For instance, is the story of Adam and Eve true? People wonder about that. People ask about that. What about Noah? What about Noah's Ark? Is that true? You're a young person in your home, I'd ask you that. What about that guy from Denmark who built an ark? You remember that? That was probably about 10 or 15 years ago. He took all the specs that were outlined in the Old Testament in that story of Noah. He took all the specs and he actually built an ark because he wanted to show that the story was true. Look, have you wondered if Bible stories are true? What about Moses parting the Red Sea? How did that go down? Moses, is that true? What about the rapture? This event that Paul describes where Jesus comes down from the and we go up, we meet Jesus halfway in the clouds. That's Paul's description of how we meet Jesus. Is that true? Is that gonna happen? I mean, you could add to the list, Jesus walking on water, is that true? And today, I want to show you resurrection. I want to show you how resurrection can be true in your life. There are stories and teachings in the Bible. And for so many of those stories, we don't know exactly how it all went down. And oftentimes, we can't be sure whether or not a story is historical. people have those discussions constantly, whether or not this particular Bible story is historical. But what we can be sure of is that there is a truth that comes out of each of those stories. And it's the truth of who we are, and it's the truth of who God is. For instance, I don't know if Adam and Eve is historical, but I do know the truth that comes out of that story is that when God created us to live in a place that was like paradise, a place that made us happy, and a place that had all the things that we need, but human free will got in the way of that because we thought we knew better than God. That's the truth that comes out of the Adam and Eve story. For instance, I don't know how Moses parted the Red Sea. And it's kind of interesting because scholars have theories about that. This scholar says this, this scholar says that. I don't know how all that went down. And I don't know if it's a historical story or not, but here's what I know. The truth of that story is that we have a God who hears the cries of the oppressed. And if you're oppressed, and if you're going through a difficult time now, there's something in your soul that is just crying out to God, God will hear your cry. And God will deliver you just as God delivered the nation of Israel. Do you see, I don't know if it's historical, but I know it's true. Like, do we see that? Like, I don't know if Jesus walked on the water. I don't know if that's a historical event. But I do know the truth. That when you are surrounded by a storm and you're yelling out, Jesus will come to you. And in some divine way, Jesus will calm your storm. Is that story historical? I don't know. Is that story true? Yes. Was Jesus raised from the dead? I don't know how all that went down, but here's the truth of resurrection. And there are two parts. There are two parts. Like I said, the first part of resurrection, there is mystery to it. And sometimes it's not as easy to understand. And that first part of resurrection is just that there is a life beyond this life. Like there is a place that Jesus talked about that is a place that will last forever that we go to. And Jesus described it as being home. It's such a beautiful image of heaven, home. That when we get there, we'll just know we belong. And we'll be surrounded by people we love. It'll be like after a hard day's work, when you get home, and you can put your feet up, and you have peace and rest. Jesus described heaven like home. Jesus described heaven in a lot of different ways. And some of you step back and you go, I don't get that. I can't get my hands into it. It's hard for me to believe that. Here's the part of resurrection I just want to give you today. And this is the part that people can just stand back and say, I get that. I get that. And I'll tell you this. This aspect of resurrection is what Jesus talked about a lot more than heaven. Jesus talked about this part of resurrection over and over and over and over. And it's so simple. When you finally see it, you'll just step back and you'll say, I believe in resurrection now. I get that. Now, the teaching that points to this is in 1 Corinthians. But not chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians is all about the resurrection. Two chapters before is chapter 13, and that's the chapter in 1 Corinthians that we know. And as you know, Paul begins chapter 13 by saying, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Now, wrap your head around that, because Paul talked about a lot of things that we could consider to be excellent. Paul talked about the Holy Spirit being with us. Paul talked about how all people are equal and how we all need to be part of the same body. And when that happens, miracles happen around us. Paul talked about the resurrection in chapter 15, two chapters after where we are now. But now Paul is saying, I will show you the most excellent way. Paul, are you saying that what you're about to say now is even more excellent than the resurrection? And he starts to talk, as you know, about love. Not just a certain, any kind of love, but a certain kind of love. Paul's not talking about erotica love. He's not talking about like 1969 love that flits from one thing to another. Nothing against any of you who are a part of the summer of love, but here's what Paul's talking about. He defines this love. Now stay with this, because this is all about resurrection. And if you have never understood resurrection before, this is going to be of huge help to you. He defines it. You've heard these words before, mostly at weddings. Love is patient, love is kind. It's not conceited, it's not arrogant, it's not self-seeking, it keeps no record of wrongdoings. And then he goes on to say, I could have all the faith in the world, but if I don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. I could give everything to the poor, but if I don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. You've heard these words before. And Paul is just echoing what Jesus first said. What's the most important thing of all, Jesus? People ask Jesus that all the time. And Jesus said, love. Wait a minute. People study the Bible for all these years. Jesus, you're a scholar of the scripture yourself, Jesus. And you know that thousands of years after you've left the earth, people will be studying the Bible for years and for years and for years. And now you're saying, you're going to nutshell it for me? That the most important thing is love. This kind of love that Paul gives us a beautiful definition for. Okay, so maybe you know all this. Maybe you know 1 Corinthians 13. But here's what I want you to see. Look at this. It's the placement. If you've got a Bible open, you're going to see this really easily. If you don't have a Bible, it doesn't matter. You're still going to see it. It's the placement of the love passage related to the resurrection passage. You see, chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians is all about resurrection. It's about the resurrection of Jesus, and because of that, the resurrection of us. But look at the placement. Look at the theological equation. I'm no mathematician, but I know that 13 comes before 15. This is amazing. You could say that love has to come before resurrection. Or you could say the consequence of love is resurrection. It's not an accident that Paul put the love passage before the resurrection passage. Paul is so clearly saying to you that resurrection follows love. That resurrection is the product of love. Yes, God's love for us, that's true. Like God loves you so much that God has prepared a place that will last forever. And God's love is with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit that is around us and uplifts us and gives us good things. But also, please understand this, there is resurrection in our love of each other. There's resurrection when we love our neighbor, when we love the stranger, even when we love our enemy. And Paul is saying, if you can find a way to live in these ways, patience, kindness, don't keep a record of wrongdoings. Like the definition of love in chapter 13. If you can find a way to live in those ways, there will be resurrection surrounding you. It's not just about tomorrow, it's about today. So, how can we understand resurrection in a way that all people get? Where they just stand back and they go, that makes perfect sense. Doesn't matter what religion they are, doesn't matter what part of the world, doesn't matter if they're vegan, doesn't matter, like whatever. And here it is. Resurrection happens today when love is shared. When someone lonely is invited into a circle of friends, It changes their life. And things that were dead in them now become alive. Like, do we see that? When someone has no money, and they can't send their kids to camp, and then someone comes along and sees that trouble they're in and says, I want to help you, and gives them some money so that they can send their kids to camp, they will tell you that there is something in them that has been reborn, something that was dead that has now come to life. And Paul's just saying, look, when you love each other, resurrection happens. Like we do, as many churches do, we do this Christmas hamper program where we deliver hampers to families around Collingwood. And one of the best parts of that program is if you get to deliver, if you get to be the person that delivers the hamper to that family, and you look for that apartment, and you finally find it after you walk through a dark alley, and you go upstairs in the dark, and you find this little door, and it has a number 4 on it, and you knock on that door, and she opens up the door, and you hand this person the hamper, and they say, you've made my Christmas. That's resurrection, people. That's resurrection. And you see how everybody can understand that? Like, it's not complicated. And it's not mysterious that when love is shared, dead hopes and dead dreams become alive again. And anybody who has been loved in that way, anybody who has been forgiven in that way, will talk to you about resurrection. And when you look at the miracles of Jesus, that's what happened all through the miracles of Jesus in the gospel stories. And I know sometimes we see those miracle stories and I don't know how to believe that. I don't know how to understand that. You know, why don't miracles like that happen today? But look, that's what Jesus did that created miracles. He stopped when no one else would stop, and he touched a person and the miracle happened. He stopped and loved someone that no one else was loving, and that's what produced the miracle. That's what Jesus' miracle stories are all about. There's this great story of a girl that everybody thought had died. She was a girl, and her father came running to Jesus and pleaded with Jesus, save the life of my daughter. And Jesus was bound for somewhere else, and he turned around and he went with this man to where his daughter was. And everybody thought this girl was dead. And Jesus said, she's not dead. And he put his hand on her. And she came back to life. You see, when we turn our agendas in another way to go help someone who needs our help and share that love, the dead will be raised. That's what that story is all about. So here's the tag. I've seen miracles I can't explain. I've seen miracles that are just pure divine. I've seen people who pray and pray and pray and pray, and then the thing that they're praying for, like, miraculously happens. And I can't explain those kinds of miracles. Those are just purely from God. Those are just like somehow a divine presence coming into this world and just doing something amazing and something awesome. And I've seen those miracles happen in this life. But I'll say this, I've seen a lot more miracles happen when people love each other, when people forgive each other. This is the great mystery of resurrection. Yes, there's life after death. There is a life that will last forever that God has prepared for you. That's a great mystery. And we look forward to that. But in the meantime, and remember, this is what Jesus talked about a lot more than he talked about heaven. You know, as we wait for that, we can make resurrection happen even now in the lives of people. So try it. Of course we'll try it. Befriend someone. Include someone. Forgive someone. Share what you have with someone. And then just ask yourself the question, is resurrection real? Can the dead come back to life? When we share the love of God with each other and with the world, it's a definite yes. We're glad that you're here. Ian's going to come up and sing a song that we love. We've sang this a few times before at this church. We sang it for one of our Christmas story presentations once, and we really enjoyed that. Anne Marie Marsden sang it once. We remember that, and we love the song.
Yeah, this is, like Dad said, this is a song that we've sang before a few times, actually. And I feel really blessed to be able to sing with my family up here and be able to do this during quarantine. And this song kind of speaks to the love that we have and the love that is in this church and the love that is so strong and so important, especially with everything that's going on today. So this is a really beautiful song, and it goes like this.
Love is not proud. Love does not boast. Love, after all, matters the most. Love does not run. Love does not hide. Love does not keep locked inside. Love is the river that flows through. Love never fails.
Thank you for the beauty of of a bud on a tree that has the promise of a brand new green leaf. Thank you for the promise of warm soil and the return of the bumblebees and the robins. God, may we see in all of these things that you are the God of new life, that whatever struggles we're in now are only temporary. We remember Paul's words in the Bible that all of our present sufferings don't compare with the glory that you have prepared for us. God, even in difficult times, we're surrounded by goodness. There is a spirit in the air that gives us what we need. The things of Jesus are like the bread of life, all the nutrients that we need to survive and to live, we have. God, for those of us that are really struggling today, may you come upon them in a way that is beyond human. But may you also remind us that our love for them can be a great source of resurrection in their lives. And God, for all of us who are just wondering how we can be of help to people, show us how to do that, God. Lead us into ways that we can be of help to people around us who are struggling. God, we continue to pray for our leaders as we have every week. We continue to pray for our frontline workers. Give them strength and hope. God, we do look forward to the day when we can be together again. God, we know who you are. Through the person of Jesus, we pray this prayer in his name today. Amen.
Broken heart.
together. We leave as family, for we are our brother's keeper. We leave in the power of God's love for us. The Holy Spirit surrounds, abides in, and abounds. We also leave in the power of our love for each other, a love that will grow resurrection today, both now and forevermore. Amen.